Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
Are you tired of wading through just endless information trying to get a handle on something?
Yeah, that feeling of info overload.
Exactly. Do you wish there was just a faster way to feel properly informed?
Well, you're in the right place today.
Mm-hmm.
We're cutting through the noise. We're doing a deep dive into something really specific, really practical.
Which is?
Preparing for the written test of the DAE AB2 Spanish exam.
Ah, okay. A big one for many learners.
Mm-hmm.
And our deep dive today, it's built on analysis from our episode 210.
Right.
Which itself actually goes deeper into an earlier Spanish episode, number 58.
Both great resources, yeah. And they're on DELEExam.com.
Correct.
So our mission for you today is pretty clear.
Yeah.
We want to equip you with the specific grammar and crucially, the structural strategy.
Out.
Not just the what.
Precisely. How to apply it strategically to really ace that DELE B2 written test. So let's unpack it.
Okay, so the starting point. Mm-hmm. Understanding the test structure itself. It's two tasks, two distinct tasks. And you've got 80 minutes total to get both done.
80 minutes, that sounds tight.
It can be, which is why a core strategy, much like for the oral test actually, is analyzing the instructions, really analyzing them.
More than just reading them, you mean?
Oh, absolutely. Think of the instructions as like little clues. They often hint at the marking rubric, or they might subtly point towards the complex grammar they want to see you use.
Ah, like a hidden map to the points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So using a model exam is key, not just for practice, but to decode those signals hidden in the instructions.
That's a really good way to think about instructions. Changes the approach completely. Mm. And, you know, what seems really efficient here is that overlap you mentioned. Some grammar, some vocab for the written test.
It pulls double duty.
Yeah. Like discussing percentages, making comparisons.
Yeah.
That stuff comes up in the oral exam too, right? Task three.
Absolutely. Task three, the survey part of the oral test,
yeah.
It relies heavily on that kind of language. So, yeah, double value from your study time.
Okay, good. So we've got the overall strategy mapped out. Let's zoom in now. Task one.
Task one. The formal letter or email. This is where you show your professional Spanish chops.
Okay.
The basic task is you listen to some news, you take notes, and then you write.
Write what exactly?
A letter or email. You introduce yourself, explain how this news item affects you personally, and then you lay out the consequences that you think this measure will cause.
And you mentioned formal. This isn't like the DELE B1 then.
Not at all. B1 might have some informal context, but B2, it's all public, academic, formal settings.
So every communication has to be formal, no exceptions.
Precisely. And that structure for a formal letter, it breaks down neatly into three blocks.
Three blocks, okay.
Heading, body, and farewell. Block one, the heading. You need to know the parts, where they go, how to write them correctly.
Right, like the date, we know what goes on the right. And that specific Spanish format, Madrid, comma, a 27 de febrero de 2024.
Exactly. And that little A before the date, the comma placement, it's not just about avoiding errors. It's about showing you've mastered the authentic convention.
So examiners really look for that level of detail, even the tiny A.
They do. It signals you've truly internalized formal written Spanish. Same goes for salutations, like Estimado Señora Directora or Muy Señores Míos.
Okay.
After those, in Spanish, you use a colon.
Oh.
A colon, not a comma, like in English. Muy Señores Míos.
Yeah.
It immediately flags your competence.
A small thing, but it shouts B2 level.
It really does. And that salutation, it's not just decoration. It dictates your grammar for the whole letter.
How so?
Well, if you use Muy Señores Míos, addressing multiple people, you must use ustedes and the third person plural verbs and pronouns whenever you refer to them.
Ah, so consistency is key. Usted or ustedes all the way through.
Exactly. Grammatical coherence from that very first greeting.
Makes total sense. Okay, let's move to the second block then, the body. What are the strategies here?
First, read the instructions carefully. They'll tell you what content to include and usually in what order.
Okay.
And knowing different letter types helps too. Like, is it a letter of complaint, a request, an application that guides your structure and the set phrases, the formulas you might use?
And connecting ideas.
Crucial. You need the right connectors. Not just to link sentences, but to logically lay out the facts, the consequences, any solutions you propose. They show the examiner you can build a formal argument.
It's more than just stringing sentences together.
Much more. It's about signaling that B2 level grasp of formal discourse flow.
And expressing opinions or feelings, how do we do that formally?
You use verbs of will or feeling, but framed formally. The source had a good example. Me molesta profundamente que la persona. You know, it deeply bothers me that.
Right.
Followed by the subjunctive.
Right. Using the subjunctive to express that emotion formally.
Exactly. And then, crucially, justify that opinion. Use logical connectors like por qué, ya que, debido a, because since, due to. Make your argument solid.
Okay. And the final block, the farewell.
Block three, simple rule. The right formula depends on who you wrote to in block one and what you wrote about in block two. It just needs to fit. Maintain that formal tone right to the very end.
Consistent formality. Got it. What about emails? Any big difference?
The main difference is practical. Emails usually don't need that traditional heading part because the date, sender, it's all automatic.
So you jump straight into the salutation and the body, basically.
Pretty much.
Now, if listeners want to go even deeper on like the specific formulas for different letter types.
Carmen Madrid's book is excellent for this. Método Deli B2, Prueba Escrita. It has step-by-step guides. Lots of formulas, examples of different letters. Highly recommended.
Great resource. Okay, that breakdown of the formal letter is super helpful. Now let's shift gears slightly to task two, the article.
Right, task two.
You get a choice here, I understand. Option one or option two?
You do. But importantly, whichever one you choose, the basic structure is the same. Introduction, development, conclusion. That's non-negotiable for an article.
Okay, universal structure. Let's look at option one first, the one with the graph.
Yes, the graph analysis article. This is an informative or expository text. Your main job is to objectively present and analyze the information shown in a graphic.
Objective analysis. So sticking purely to the data, or is there some room for interpretation?
Good question. It's mostly objective reporting of the data, but the analysis part means you do need to interpret what it signifies, maybe draw some conclusions from it. Sometimes you might weave in a very controlled, data-supported opinion.
Okay, so what should you review for this?
Know the features of informative texts. Master those discourse organizers. Intro, development, conclusion. Especially the conclusion. Instructions often want a strong synthesis there.
Any specific phrases that are useful?
Definitely. For importance, es importante señalar que... It's important to point out that for highlighting data, este dato tiene gran relevancia. This data point is highly relevant, especially if we consider that kind of thing.
And handling the numbers themselves.
Yeah, you need specific vocab for numbers, percentages. Phrases for comparing percentages, like, esto se da más en la enseñanza primaria que en la secundaria. This occurs more in primary than secondary education.
Okay.
And obviously, ways to refer back to the graphic itself. Como demuestran los datos que podemos ver en el gráfico. As the data in the graph show, or simply, en los datos del estudio, in the study's data.
And this ties back again, right? Percentages, comparisons, useful for the oral exam, too.
Exactly. That task three overlap again. Very efficient study.
It really is. Okay, so that's option one objective, data-driven. How does option two differ, the argumentative one? This sounds like where you can really show your opinion.
It is. Option two is based on maybe a news item, a synopsis, a review of a play, book, film, something like that. It's less about objective data and much more about your interpretation, your argument, your opinion.
So more subjective.
Definitely more subjective and argumentative. Your ability to build and defend a point of view is key here.
Right. So what's the focus for preparing for this style?
Understand argumentative texts, reviews, critiques, opinion pieces. Again, discourse organizers are vital for structure. Intro, development, conclusion, they guide your reader through your argument.
And connectors, are they different here?
Yes, you'll need specifically argumentative and counter-argumentative ones. Like, aunque el tema era interesante, although the topic was interesting. El objetivo de una obra para niños no es solo educar, sino entretener, y este objetivo. The aim of a children's play isn't just to educate, but also entertain. And this aim, that aunque signals a concession, a typical argumentative move.
Okay, using connectors to build the argument logically makes sense. You mentioned practicing introductions earlier. Still important here.
Absolutely vital. A strong intro sets the stage, maybe hints at your stance. Practice writing intros on different themes, like the importance of children's theater or whatever the topic might be. Get comfortable establishing your perspective right away.
And expressing valuation, like saying if something is good or bad.
Yes, you need expressions for that. For evaluating actors, activities, whatever. Que me parece lógico que los estudiantes no quieran. It seems logical to me that students wouldn't want to. And again, that skill overlaps with giving opinions in the oral test.
What else is crucial for option two?
Definitely review past tenses and descriptive adjectives. You'll need them to talk about the play, book, or film effectively.
Right, describing things.
And of course, expressing and justifying your opinion clearly. Use those causal connectors, porque, ya que, debido, to back up everything you claim.
And the conclusion. Still needs focus.
Absolutely. Even if the instructions don't explicitly say write a conclusion, you must. It needs to loop back to your introduction and your main opinion. It sort of closes the circle, gives a sense of completion to your argument.
Right, tying it all together neatly.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's bring this all together for you, the listener. We've covered quite a bit today. We've distilled these tools for the DEL B2 written exam.
Mm-hmm. We've looked at the strict formality needed.
Right. Non-negotiable. The three-block letter structure.
The universal article structure for task two.
And those little linguistic details, like the colon versus the comma, that can really make a difference to your score.
Yeah, this deep dive should give you a really clear roadmap, so you know not just what grammar and vocab to hit, but more importantly, how to actually apply it strategically under exam conditions.
Turning knowledge into actual points on the exam.
That's the goal.
So here's a thought to leave you with. Are you ready to demonstrate your level of Spanish to the world?
A good question to ponder.
We really encourage you to check out DELEexam.com. You can listen to the original Spanish episode 58 there. Explore those resources from Carmen Madrid, her courses, her books.
If you do have specific questions about DELE, grammar, vocab, teaching Spanish, you can email Carmen directly.
Her email is carmenmadridonline@gmail.com.
That's right.
We really hope this deep dive has given you the clarity and maybe the confidence to tackle that DELE B2 written exam head on.
Thanks for listening, Delicasters. It's always great to have you here. In September, every Friday, you'll get a new episode in English like this one, where we talk about previous episodes and help you reflect on important topics. On Tuesdays, there will be episodes in Spanish, some focused on vocabulary and others diving deeper into the DELE B2 and C1 exams, helping you understand what's expected and how to succeed. If you're getting ready for the DELE, remember that Carmen Madrid's group courses begin the last week of September for the November exam and again in March for the May exam. And if you prefer individual lessons, you can start whenever you like. Contact Carmen for more information about individual or group courses at carmenmadridonline@gmail.com or on her website, DELEexam.com. Are you ready to show the world your Spanish skills?